Good evening, noon. Does that work? I was thinking that before. Everyone keeps going afternoon, evening. In case you don't know me, which you all should by now, given that I'm the 4 p.m. pastor, my name is Shashi. Lovely to see you. Dissonance is one of my new favorite words. It is so good at capturing the many-layered and complex idea. Just wait a moment. Here's musical dissonance. Did that hurt your ears? Did you kind of go, At 9 a.m. this morning, our lovely organ player, Bruce, did it on the organ and it was way worse. I thought this picture captured it quite well too. Excuse me. Giraffe has a long neck, but all the way into the clouds, we sure? What about this one? Don't harm animals, but they are so delicious. I especially like the green cow thing with wings. That feeling you had when you heard those notes. Even saying you love to eat meat while looking at your favorite animal pet, maybe your cat. It's called dissonance. When something doesn't match, doesn't fit, isn't the way it's supposed to be. Usually when the word is used, just like with those musical notes, it's a bad thing. But what's a different kind of dissonance? I think for those of us who have traveled in different cultures or gone to different countries, I include myself in that, in both directions, coming home and leaving, we'll notice when things don't fit the way they're supposed to, when they use words that don't mean the same thing. It's a different kind of dissonance, right? When things aren't where they're supposed to be. If you've ever gone overseas or maybe started in a new school, maybe in a new workplace, you probably tried to fit in, maybe even tried to pretend that you're someone else. You would know from a while back that I have two younger brothers, the youngest, who's nearly 12 years younger than me. And quite a while back, when Charlie was probably about 4 to 5 years old, Eddie came to live with us. While he was with us, he really enjoyed the freedom of being a young adult and went on two exchange trips, one to Hong Kong and one to Venice, the place that I've always wanted to visit. So, of course, you know, he brought a necklace back with a little charm of Italy on it. While he was traveling over there, and particularly in Hong Kong, he decided to pretend to be someone different, someone who was sociable and friendly, someone who was more outgoing and ambitious, a sort of fake it till you make it situation. He really enjoyed how other people treated him during that 10-day trip. Of course, though, when he got home, I told him, Eddie, you don't have to be fake with us. As his older sister, of course, I knew the true Eddie. But Eddie actually had to have a think about who he really was. For those in Hong Kong who had never met him before, he was just this new version of himself. They would have probably thought, oh yeah, Eddie, he's really friendly, he's really outgoing. For any of us who had known the Eddie from before, we would have felt that dissonance that we just heard too. It was really hard for him to be different around me. And at the end of the trip, Eddie did tell me that he felt really tired from being someone so different from his usual self, someone who's relaxed, quiet, and easygoing. For him, it was a relief to come back to Melbourne, have me and toddler Charlie pick him up at the airport and not have to pretend, have this dissonance inside himself. I think many of us have had moments like that too, right? Gone to a new workplace. Maybe we weren't sure of who we were as teenagers, so we dressed up differently. Many of us long to try different personalities and clothes, different approaches, so we stop feeling so dissonant, like we don't fit in. Same as Eddie, being someone different so we can fit in, harmonize, be like other people. In this past 6 months, I've really enjoyed the Everyday Discipleship series. I've enjoyed hearing from Ezra too, but I've had a problem. I've often felt a dissonance. Like, how am I supposed to be an example to young people when I still feel like I'm trying to work out who I am at 43? I'm sure for those who were at 10:30, you'd know my 15-year-old son. It's great that I'm his mum and I want to give him let him partake of all my wisdom, but that's hard to do when he's taller than me now and when he tells me stuff about putting a game on the ASG server and I don't even know what a server is. It's great hearing about the building works Ezra and the Israelites did. Even more impressive, hearing about the courage Ezra had in pointing the Israelites to the ways in which they were turning away from God. But me, I can't do that. Even if I am allowed to wear a collar, to lead weddings and funerals, and even oversee the Lord's Supper, I couldn't lead a whole people group around. Today's passage has us seeing Jesus introduce himself to his disciples in an interesting way. He kind of steps into their boats and teaches from them. Did he know Simon previously? Did they agree to this beforehand? Was it like some sort of here's a teaching boat moment we prepared earlier kind of situation? Who is this guy that these crowds are following? And why Simon's boats, not somebody else's? In just the previous chapter, we see both Jesus being rejected in Nazareth in the temple, and we see him have the audacity to announce to everyone there that he is the Savior. As you know, people there weren't very impressed. But there's still crowds following him around, listening to his teaching. What's going on? Then, despite the fact that Simon and the other fishermen have been trying to catch fish all night, and at this point are washing their nets after their lack of fish, Jesus just tells them, lower your nets. What's going on? Not like in the last few hours, fish eggs have suddenly bought a whole bunch of fish and now he's going to catch them. And we aren't the only ones who are confused. The fishermen, who know what they are doing when they are fishing. Simon lets the nets down, saying, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Excuse me. I wonder how he was feeling. Was he feeling that dissonance too? That kind of, sure, I'll do it because nothing's going to happen. Or maybe he was thinking, I'm going to show this guy that he really isn't a fisherman. Then after all this fish, Simon Peter, notice the name change, kneels down before Jesus in the boat. More dissonance. First, we have this random stranger have the courage and authority to just step into a stranger's boat. That's not normal. Then demonstrate and kind of show who he is through his ability to fill the nets of Simon Peter and these other fishermen with fish. What a way to first meet Jesus. He has crowds following him and then he steps into your fishing boats and manages to fill your nets with fish. I almost feel like I need a sound effect button for how amazing this is. For all the dissonance we hear, I'd be pressing that button a lot if I had it. Jesus is seen and known by his disciples. What do you think you would have not done in response to all this? Who would you think Jesus is? Well, Simon Peter is one of the people who responds the most clearly. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. I don't know that I would have had the quick response that Simon Peter does. I think I would have still have been sitting there in shock. What? So much fish. Who is this guy that has the authority to teach and to bring about such a catch of fish? Simon Peter, bowing down in the boat Jesus is in, shows that he recognizes who Jesus is. That even though there's this dissonance, Yeah, right. Putting the nets down after a full night of fishing will work. They do catch fish, and this Jesus guy that they've just met really is special. Suddenly, this random guy is seen and known by the disciples, by Simon Peter, as someone worth paying attention to. This guy has power not only as a teacher, but over nature. He must be the Messiah. Simon Peter recognizes Jesus. Not only that, but he's quick to know that he is seen and known by Jesus too. While Simon might have been quick to recognize Jesus' authority and power, Jesus makes it clear that he sees and knows Simon too. Which is why he says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed their boats, they left everything and followed Jesus. He understands Simon. Talk about dissonance. Jesus knows who these guys are. While Simon Peter not only sees and knows Jesus, he knows too that Jesus understands who he is, sees and knows Simon. That's why he fell to his knees. He felt the dissonance. Simon Peter is no fool. He knows that Jesus is someone with power, is holy like God. So if Simon knows who Jesus is, he knows too how much he shouldn't be seen with Jesus. He shouldn't be near Jesus. God, and in turn Jesus, isn't only someone with power over nature, someone who can teach, but is someone with the ability to see Simon Peter for who he truly is. Simon Peter is known and seen by Jesus, which of course is why Simon Peter falls to his feet inside the boat. Simon Peter knows that he himself is a sinner, just like when we did our confession. He knows he can't stand before Jesus confidently without acknowledging his failures. Jesus himself knows who Simon Peter is. He knows the larger plan God has to save Simon Peter. And he replies, "Do not be afraid, for now you will be fishing for people." And as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Simon Peter is seen and known by Jesus. All these fishermen are seen and known by Jesus, which of course is why Jesus can confidently reassure them that from now on, you will be fishing for people. While the crowds and these fishermen might have recognized Jesus's power, even more importantly, he knows them and sees them and can reassure them of his plans for them. They aren't the only ones that Jesus knows and sees, though. Jesus sees and knows us. I think a lot of us spend a lot of time looking for acknowledgement, wanting to feel known. Of course, that's why we hang out at 4 p.m., right? We gravitate towards those of a similar age, background, and experience, right? But here today, knowing that Jesus has died for me, accepting him as God and Savior, I feel a lot like Eddie, pretending to be someone I'm not. There's a dissonance in how I feel about who I am. Like Simon Peter, I know that I'm not worthy, so I want to be known, but I know that I am not worthy of being known. Do we understand how well God knows and understands us, though? Just as Jesus knew Simon Peter, the disciples and the crowd, he knows us too. After all, he did actually know our needs so well, just as we have seen these last few weeks in Ezra. God provided the right king to let the Israelites return to Jerusalem. God provided someone like Ezra to turn them back to God. God knows well enough to know the tension we feel, this dissonance between who we often want to be and who we might feel we are too. So while we might feel that dissonance, feel like Eddie did, faking it to make it, as Christians or as people, we are still known by God. I don't know if you feel like you belong in one of these pictures. Maybe you aren't sure of who you are. You are a fish out of water. Yes, sharks are fish. Not whales who are mammals. Or maybe like Simon Peter, you might question if you are good enough to be around Jesus. Maybe you are filled with life experience and along the path of being who God made you to be, so you feel like a unicorn. I switch between all three pictures quite regularly. But if you might have changed, might no longer be full of energy, might not be a perfect singer or get it right every time, like Simon Peter, Jesus knows who you are. Jesus can know this because he is indeed the savior of the world. There is no need to hide who God has made you to be. And in fact, the more you know Jesus, the more you read about him in the Bible, the more you pray, the more you trust in him, the more you become the person he always intended for you to be. Just as Jesus knew these disciples will be fishing for men because those are his plans for them, he has plans for us too. That's worth sharing. That's worth getting excited about. Because God is beautiful and good, and he made you in his image to be the same. And through Jesus, that's actually made possible. Dissonance happens when we see something that isn't meant to be there. We too, like Simon Peter, know that we are sinners, even when we don't admit it to ourselves or to others. Just like Simon Peter, though, we can trust in God's plans for us as we look to Jesus's return. We are who God made us to be. For me, I am short, I am small, Asian and female. And while I might not be sure of who I am, and will sometimes feel like I am indeed faking it to make it, like becoming a priest, and while I'm still becoming the person God made me to be, even at 43, I can trust him with that. While I wait for his return, when all things will be made right, I can know that God has seen me and knows me. Any dissonance I feel, a lot of it will be because I am an imperfect and sinful person in a broken and often hopeless world. I can trust the unknown things that God has planned and know that his plan is perfect, unlike my plan. Remember that God is making us into who he wants us to be every day as we are discipled and as we disciple others. Everyday discipleship, right? Remember that the harm and sorrow of this world is in dissonance with what God has always intended for the world, that indeed God has got all of us walking with him on a journey where he will guide us to be what he wants, and that includes using our brains, our bodies, our strengths, and our weaknesses, like Simon Peter. And thankfully, thank God indeed, he knows what he's doing. Any dissonance we feel? We can go to God with it because he will know what to do with it. I know for many of us, we might feel quite set in who we are. Sure, I know who I am. Some of us are probably still working that out too, or revising that as our bodies change, as our wisdom hopefully grows. Rather than try and pretend to be something we're not, Jesus reveals to his disciples who they are, who he always meant for them to be. And rather than hiding who he is in human form, Jesus shows us that he is worthy of our worship, even if he saved us in a way that we didn't expect. Simon Peter, the disciple we know who later on betrayed Jesus, was redeemed and restored and shaped into the person God wanted him to be. This is the same disciple that writes those powerful letters to other churches that we read earlier this year. He became a person that pointed to Jesus, so much so that he even wrote this in a letter he sent to the churches in Asia Minor. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Wherever you might be traveling in your life, whatever you are going through, rest assured that God knows you and who he intends for you to be. Know that this God of ours is worth worshipping forever and always. Let's pray together. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.